In your bulletin this morning is an insert of the scripture text that we'll be using from Acts chapter 16, most of the chapter. Paul is on his second missionary journey, and we find Paul and Silas in prison. Our key verses is taken from verses 25 and verse 26. Please follow along as I read. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Let us pray. Heavenly Fathers, we look at the message today from your word. We like to use scripture to improve our vision. These passages here in Acts chapter 16, that we may see God, the one that we put our trust and faith in, that we may improve our vision and see him in clearer focus, a sharper image, in high definition, that we may see what perhaps Paul and Silas saw that dark night in a prison, is our prayer today in Christ's name. Amen. In chapter 16, as I read through the passages of scripture, there's no miracle that can compare to this miracle, in my view. We know that our Lord performed many miracles, as well as some of the apostles, through their ministries. We know that the lame were able to walk. Well, today, we have modern medicine and even the lame can walk. Not too long ago, Dolores was at a point where she was immobile, and there was no alternative but to seek medical attention, and she was able to walk in this morning in the auditorium. So the early miracles in Christ's day don't seem to be as great a miracles. In the Lord's day, the blind were able to see. And today we have modern technology that in perhaps a few more years, those who do not have any capacity of seeing light will be able to somehow visually see. Modern medicine has been used to allow us to do miraculous things. And so it tends to take away the miracles in our Savior's day and in Paul's day. But an earthquake, we see those on TV today. This is a greater miracle perhaps in modern times, what we've learned about earthquakes. For a building to shake from side to side and to allow the prison doors to open that were locked. And also in this verse, we find out that not only were the prison doors locked, but the very chains that the prisoners had, chained to the walls, came loose from the walls. And what makes this even a greater miracle is no one ran away. We know that in violent earthquakes where buildings shake and tremble and walls crumble, the first thing you do is get out of the building. But Paul and Silas remain, as well as the prisoners. An outstanding miracle, even in modern times, with all the science that we use. And so this miracle in chapter 16, as we read through it, we have a tendency to be overwhelmed by such a miracle as this. But yet, I always tend to seek and use scripture to maybe see better. See beyond this great miracle of what transpired in that time of frame in Paul's missionary journey. And we do that as we would do in modern times. To improve your vision to see something better, you often have to allow more light in. You have to take more of the scenery in. To go to the Grand Canyon and to look down, it's awesome, but you miss the Grand Canyon until you come up and look at the distance and to scan to the right, the vastness just to look at two verses in chapter 16 limits our vision, our focus of the God we serve. So if we can pull back and look at some verses after the earthquake and turn this way and before the earthquake, we take in more light and improve our vision of this great miracle. Follow along in verses number 27. Let's widen our view. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposedly that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And when he took them the same hour of the night, he washed their stripes and baptized he and all him his straightway. And when he was brought them into the house, he sat down before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his household. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the surgeon, saying, "Let those men go." In that dark night, Paul and Silas had preached all day in the city of Philippi. No record of one disciple led to Christ. Not one. All day, all evening. And it created such a commotion that Paul and Silas were taken and beaten and cast in a jail, a prison, locked in chains, doors locked. The greater miracle I see in this passage here is Paul and Silas, in spite of the long day of no success, the long hours, and then the beatings, and then at midnight, cast in prison and jail. What did they do? It says here, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. I find that a miracle within a miracle, do you not? I wonder what he prayed. I wonder what songs he sang. I'd like to suggest one, "Marching to Zion." We just sang that. "Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known." Paul was on a missionary journey, but Paul within his missionary journey, and there were three, he was on a more important mission. He was marching to Zion, the holy city of God. It just at this moment in time, he's in prison. But he's marching just the same, chains and all. His journey is not done, and he's marching to Zion. The prisoners could not see Paul or Silas, but they heard him. He sang loud and clear and praise God, as well as the guard, the Roman guard, heard that to the point that in the late hours fell asleep and perhaps dreamed about that city of God. How in the world could Paul and Silas sing and praise God at a time like this? It made an impression with him. But we look through the scriptures here and we find out that what happened was when God, and it doesn't say God sent the earthquake, it just says there was a great earthquake. There was an earthquake. The ground trembled, the buildings rattled, and Rennie, when you hang a door, it is so hard to get that door to move and swing. And even after you do it, it may come back in some period of time, and just the settling of the timbers can jam it, where you can't open it if it's closed, and where it's closed, you can't open it. But these are heavy, reinforced doors, and the ground shook and trembled, and yet those doors swung open, and those chains dropped off a tremendous miracle. But the greater miracle is Paul and Silas, in spite of that, no success all day long. And yet, they could sing and praise God because Paul had a vision of his real journey through Philippi. A great miracle in itself. Paul had preached and sang and did it for days at a time before being cast into prison. As a matter of fact, when the Sabbath came with no success, he had to leave the city of Philippi and just go outside the city limits to find a place on the Sabbath, a Jewish tradition, to worship and to pray. It was that important to Paul and Silas. And so I focus your attention to the continuing of our readings here in verse number 13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which received thither. Verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worship, God heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attained unto the things that we had spoken by Paul. And when she had baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if we have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she consented, constrained thereof. When the Sabbath came, Paul and Silas left the city, yet to be bound and beaten, and went outside the city limits to a Jewish Sabbath meeting place where women met to pray. These were women, according to verse 13. Near a river, these women would meet, and Jewish tradition used the water by the riverside to wash their feet, their hands, as it was in the synagogues of the Jewish tradition. Paul, being both Jew and Roman, felt compelled to go outside the city on the Sabbath and carry on the Jewish tradition. For one reason, he was still on his major journey to Zion. He met with these women and sat down, we're told. They sat down, and he spoke to them of God's plan, about the Lord, his death, burial, and resurrection. And he spoke to her to the point that that river and that water only washes the outside. You need a cleansing on the inside. And he explained to them, just like our pastor did last Sunday, about baptism. You remember that? She went around, and not that she rebaptized us, but she went around and symbolically baptized us to represent what baptism is all about. As a reminder, baptism cleans the inside. It's not the water that cleans the inside, it's the symbol, that thing that you believe God that we need to do. To become a disciple of Christ, you must first believe in him and then be baptized. If you believe, you will follow in his step and be baptized, just like Jesus was, symbolic. And so Paul was here, spoke to her and the women, and it said that her heart was open, and she attended unto the things which Paul spoke of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, come, lodge with us. A greater miracle than wall shaken, life saved, no one injured? Yes. Greater than perhaps the Philippian guard jailer? Just as equal, a great miracle. This Jewish woman, she was a woman of purple, high esteem, a retail merchant, well known in the city, wealthy, met with the most wealthy people in the city of Philippi and surrounding area, selling the purple garments of the day, being one of the most precious colors in the biblical world. We take for granted the colors of fabrics today, but purple was an extreme difficult color to embed in fabric like wool. And she was well sought after for her trade and knowledge of fabrics and colors. But yet she needed the Lord, irregardless of her social status. Just as much as the Philippian jailer needed the Lord, being a man of authority and great strength, executing his job. And so we go on here in verse number 16, as she became a disciple of Christ, going back to her selling of purple, Paul again crosses back into the city of Philippi and preaches again another week, no results, and returns on the Sabbath again, verse number 16. And it came to pass, as we went to pray again, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of damnation met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. We have this damsel following this evil spirits that causes her to be a soothsayer and make profits for unworthy merchants. Followed every day. But that evil spirit in you had to recognize Paul and Silas is having the word of God and the word of salvation. But it taunted Paul and Silas, realizing that possession that was in her that took over charge of her normally. It could have been a drug. It could have been a teaching, a philosophy, an upbringing. But it tormented them to the point that Paul and Silas turned and commanded that evil spirit to come out. Yet another greater miracle in Acts chapter 16. Not only was the Roman guard made disciple of Christ and his household, not only did Lydia, the woman of purple, of high prestige, wealth, influence, Jewish, well respected in the Son of God, she too needed to follow Christ and accept him, believe him, and be baptized in her household. And then we find out this demon-possessed damsel, likewise. Miracles all around Paul, one here, one there. Who's to say that the prisoners who did not run were not influenced by the singing and the prayers of Paul and Silas in jail? Because when the jail guard turned on the light and sprang in, he asked the question, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas gave him the immediate answer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved." And the prisoners heard that. And because this damsel had been miraculously cleansed from her demon possession, goes on in verse number 19, "And when her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers, and they brought them to the magistrates, saying, 'These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city.'" The Roman control of Philippi under dominant Roman rule, just barely tolerated Jewish tradition. The reason why the women had to leave the city on the Sabbath to pray. The reason Paul had to leave. They hardly tolerated them. But yet, during the week, Paul and Silas boldly preached Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. And because this damsel demon was cast out, those that profited from her services of soothsaying, it affected their economy. Paul was tearing the city up. And so, verse 21, because they did lose their income, verse 21, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive or to observe, being Romans, the multitude rose up together against them and went to the magistrates, and they ripped off their clothes and commanded to be beaten. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them. That's how Paul and Silas ended up in jail. So we see Paul here on his missionary journey. And the difficulties he was having in the cities, and the success he was having in prison and outside the city. People coming to a knowledge of Christ, being baptized in the faith, baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Great miracles, far greater than a building shaking. But I sometimes ask, in looking at these passages of Scripture, is there something else here that's even greater than that? Imagine Paul coming back from journey number two, missionary journey number two. He had already made journey number one. He had experienced a shipwreck where everything was lost but life. All those on the ship, including him, survived. Paul had once been beaten outside of a city for preaching and was left for dead. At one occasion, Paul was on an island teaching Christ, the purpose of Christ, following him, becoming disciples, meaning the meaning of it, the symbolism of baptism, and warming himself in the cold, dark, damp air of night, reached near the fire, and a serpent, a venomous, poisonous, deadly on that island, bit Paul on the hand. And those that were listening to Paul, these were barbaric people, never heard of Christ, love of Christ, salvation, things of God, saw this serpent bite Paul, and their first impression, you remember what it was? This is an evil man. But Paul did not die from that venomous snake. And after just moments, these native barbaric people realize he did not die. There must be something special about Paul. And that night, Paul survived a most poisonous, venomous snake bite, but he was able to win the barbaric people on that island. Paul once was let down a wall in a basket on a rope to escape his life. Paul had experienced all of these difficult hardships. And so can you imagine Paul coming in, finishing his third missionary journey, and the interviewers like we see today everywhere? There are interviewers everywhere. They are experts in all fields, questioning Paul. Paul, how did your journey go this time? And Paul would say, it was quite successful. We led a lot to Christ, many to Christ. Yes, but we hear that you suffered and survived an earthquake, a shipwreck, venomous, poison snake bites, was beaten, almost thought to be dead? How can you equate that to be successful? It's because the world does not see what Paul saw. And Paul got that vision of marching to Zion on the road to Damascus when he met the Lord and heard the message from God's word, straight from the Lord himself. He had been persecuting the church. And yet, Paul had to make a choice in his life. Continue persecuting the church or accept the Lord himself and become part of the church. And that's the choices we have today. Of all the miracles mentioned here in Acts chapter number 16, I find the greatest of the greatest miracles here in verse number 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God Jewishly, God heard us. Paul went into that synagogue without any success in Philippi and met with these Jewish women, and they reasoned over the word of God. And they had prayed in that meeting. And what was Paul's prayer? Lord, make our journey safe. Lord, give us safety. No, he was praying for people to be saved. He was praying for this Jewish lady, great lady, wonderful person, nothing wrong with her, but she needed the Lord. And Paul and Silas, in their prayer meeting, prayed for her. And God heard us. The Lord opened her heart unto the things that we spoke unto her. That night that Paul and Silas was in jail, I imagine, what was their prayer? Open these doors, free our chains. No. That's how God answered their prayer. They were praying for the lost, the prisoners on the other side of the wall, criminals. They needed to hear the Lord, hear about him. They needed to be baptized and become disciples of Christ. The Philippian jailer. They were praying for the lost and praising God for their own salvation. The miracle here I find in Acts chapter 16, not the prison wall earthquake, not even the guard that trusted Christ, or Lydia, the lady of purple, or the damsel and the demon cast out, or their household, multitudes. Households saved became followers of Christ. The miracle is, why would God hear us? That is a miracle, that God would take the persecutor of the church in his day and time and touch his life and his heart, and he becomes a follower, and he goes out to build the church rather than to destroy the church. And could pray, and God would hear him. The greatest miracle you and I have, wherever we go, what our journey is, what is our main journey? Not where you're going next week or tomorrow or last week, but what is your journey in life? This message touches my heart because there are times I need something to speak to me. Am I praying for the lost? Or am I praying for safety? For the snake bite not to take my life? That I live through a shipwreck? That I can go through surgery? Lord, bring me through this difficult time in my life. Paul was focused on the lost. And he knew that God would hear him to pray for the lost. And in spite of that, it didn't matter. The ships were going to wreck. The earthquakes are going to come. The beatings are going to come. Snake bites. The difficulties of life. He was already losing his sight. Could hardly see. But he was focused on the lost. God hears us. What a miracle. Don't you agree? That God hears our prayers.